Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively going to be out doing some Maryland Crab Cake Tour. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. They gave me this mask. I probably should have had it when I was out in Las Vegas for that football game a couple months ago. But the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, Silver Spring Mining Company this week in the Chop Tank. Next week, we're going to be visiting with our mayor, Brandon Scott, on the 17th. At Coco's in Lauraville, and we're also at Fadley's on the 10th, and on the 12th, Friday afternoon, we're going to be at Nick's Grandstand Grill up in Timonium. This guy probably knows Timonium and Ellicott City, and I think I probably met him in Catonsville or somewhere near there many, many moons ago. He's involved in the soccer community here and the sports community here, was a sort of an original listener. AJ Ali is about to become my guest here. And you know, AJ, I probably should tell you this. My 30th anniversary is coming up on Baltimore Radio on December 13th. And I think, did I meet you before I was on radio? Did I meet you when I was at the paper covering side? I mean, I've had you in my life a long, long time, and you've been moving around. It's really good to have you on, man. What's going on, brother?
Thank you, brother. Yeah, it's great to be on with you. Yeah, I don't know how far we go back. It seems like till the beginning of time.
Well, wait, give everybody your background. When did you live in Maryland? And like, did you grow up here?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I grew up in Severn, which is in Anne Arundel County. And then I spent many years in Columbia, Maryland. And
I met you in Columbia, I think. I met you at a Maryland Bays game. Is that possible? Baltimore Bays game? Does that sound right?
Possibly. Yeah, it's been a long time. I've lived there off and on for most of my adult life. I've lived in California a couple times, and now I'm in Henderson, Nevada. But you know, I'm a Maryland guy,
so
and I'm
here.
Back off
Henderson, right? How long you been in Vegas? How long you been out there?
I've been here since last July. So when we moved here, it was 115 degrees, bro. And when it gets above 105, I don't care what they say about dry heat. It is hot. It is too hot for humans.
I always tell the story of going out to Vegas in the early 90s. And I had Jimmy Babjack on from the Smithereens, guitar player. And the first time I ever went to Vegas, I stayed at the Luxor. They opened a bar out there called the Belly Up, right on Sahara. It's gone now. It's something else. And so that was going on 30 years ago now that I went out there. And the whole dry heat thing happened. And in the summer of 96, the Ravens were coming to Baltimore. It was in June. I was out there with my buddy staying at the Hard Rock. And they had this, like, black sand at the Hard Rock. And I was like, yeah, I know you want it to be like Bali, but it's hot as hell out here. You know, put some white sand out. You know, put something good for my feet. Put something, some polyester that will feel nice on my feet. So that afternoon, I got invited up to Cashman Field. And Phil Regan was the former manager of the Orioles then, and I knew him, the Vulture. And I went up just to visit with him, and they were playing the Albuquerque Dukes, and he was the manager. And I was out there by 3 in the afternoon. It was 119 degrees, and they were taking infield practice at 3 o'clock in the afternoon trying to get to the big leagues. These are AAA guys. And I'm thinking, this is no life for an athlete out here in the dry heat. Right, AJ?
That's commitment, bro. I mean, you know, if you can make it here, you can pretty much make it anywhere. This is no joke out here. In fact, you'll probably see me around Baltimore May, June, July, and August a lot because I'm getting out of here for a couple of months.
Well, tell everybody what you're up to, dude. You're spreading love. You've always had sort of a gospel of inward sort of reflection about you over a couple of decades. You sort of made a life out of it. Give me your trail. Give me the elevator speech for you.
Yeah. You know, I was in the military, Air Force, from 83 to 87. After that, I owned a couple of pro soccer teams, one in Sacramento, one in Howard County.
See, I'm not wrong about soccer. I was right.
Yeah. You know, there's an old joke, you know, how do you become a millionaire? Become a billionaire first and then buy a soccer team.
I like that. I like that.
Yeah, I was never either one of those, but I had the opportunity to own two teams, and it was a joy because I played soccer and played for the Air Force team, and I just wanting to get into the management side of it was really great, and you know, helping some people's dreams come true and so forth. But
tough business, sports business.
It
right?
is. Oh my gosh, yeah. Oh, you're gonna lose money and you're probably not going to make it. The odds are against you. And, you know, it's not one of the big three or big four. So, you know, it's a great sport. Still love it. But, AJ, you know, that was in the past.
I told everybody on my Ascension is Nasty Nester. And when I got the radio station, I said, if this thing's ever really successful and I ever have FU money, I will buy an AHL hockey team and put it at the Royal Farms Arena. That would have been my dream 20 years ago, that if I had money that just – you know, enough money that I can do the things I want to do. I wouldn't own a boat. Yeah. I wouldn't need, you know, a mansion. I wouldn't need a gate. I wouldn't need any of that. I could live the life I'm living. If I owned a hockey team, I thought that would have been success and fun and good for the community or whatever. I would have gone broke, right? I mean, again, I would have gotten up the mountain and then been like, oh, I lost $4 million in the hockey thing. I'm done, you know, so, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, but you know, you got to follow your dreams, you know, and that was something that I wanted to do, did it. I've moved on. I've been making films and TV shows and put a music CD out. And yeah, I've been trying to do things that will make a difference. I don't know if you remember, Nestor, the Goodfellas of Baltimore show
that
I did on
the Goodfellas. I have some dear friends of mine, Steve DeCastro, some other friends involved in that, sure.
That's right. Vince Sharps, William Peach, Brian Jarosinski, a few others. And,
Vince,
you know, that
was involved, was he? I know Vince.
Absolutely, man. He was one of Goodfellas. He's a good fellow for life, man. We still stay in touch. I stay in touch with most of the guys. Elio Scaccio was a great guy, great singer. He's doing a lot of performances around the country. But, you know, the Goodfellas of Baltimore was kind of a test of humanity. It was much more than a TV show. We raised a couple $100,000 for charities. We helped the Chiosi family get their house rebuilt after a fire. We helped a couple dozen charities around town. And the beautiful thing about it was five or six of us guys that were the stars of the show, so to speak. But the real stars were the 300 volunteers, fans of the show who would come out. And when we said, you know, you had to do something to be involved with us, to be part of what we called the mob, which was Mentors of Baltimore, you had to come out and get your hands dirty, you know, and make a difference in the community. And I think that's what's missing, man. I think, you know, we got a lot of people that are saying, well, things need to change and the violence needs to go away and this and that. But how many people are actually doing something about it? You know, how many people are actually in the community making a difference, mentoring and doing other things to give people options so they don't have to commit crimes?
Well, AJ, it's fascinating you bring that up because, you know, my journey to Baltimore Positive from, you know, Nasty Nester and doing sports really happened with Freddie Gray and my wife's illnesses. My wife's illnesses, Freddie Gray, happened in between her two battles for her life with leukemia and her coming out of that. And me trying to forge ahead, like in conversation, doing afternoon drive about the Orioles, who don't care about the community, clearly, you know, that's been well evidenced. And thinking to myself, the things that picked the community up, whether it was Governor Schaefer, who was then the mayor, people involved, building Harbor Place, the vision of the harbor, the vision of the aquarium, the vision of the Science Center, the vision of Camden Yards, the vision of the Ravens. I mean, our first episode of Baltimore Positive, second episode, we had Barbara Mikulski on, and she told me how the Fort McHenry Tunnel got built and how that literally they were going to wipe out Canton and just put the highway. You know, 95 would have come down the waterway, down Boston Street, essentially, right? So, like, and ingenuity and people and politics and money and people pushing the community ahead. And listen, I've gone back and done the research on, you know, the awful redlining, the racism, all the things that were hidden here, whatever we were taught and growing up in Dundalk and segregation that existed that I can now look back on and see we had a lot of problems around here, still do. But I would say that there's a point where in 2021, who are the leaders going to be? And for me, sitting around and talking about baseball box scores and whatever, it wasn't turning me on anymore. And I said, I need to speak to leaders and people. And Don Mohler was running the county and Kevin Kamenetz had died on the campaign trail. And I said, let's do something. And Be Positive was my wife's blood type when she was diagnosed with leukemia. Be Positive was her blood type. So we turned that into a mantra And I turned that into Baltimore positive. And I guess over the last couple of years, it's things like your efforts with Goodfellas and using media and using people and using voices and using whatever your audience is. I have 100,000 people that follow guys like you that live in Henderson, in Las Vegas, that see what I do on a daily basis in a lot of cases, and thinking like, how can I take the radio station, the remnants of that, still do sports, still do the stuff that's fun, but really open the world up to being a voice for all these people, all thread, the things that are going on in the community, or having Sonia Sanalesis on to talk about the Baltimore City school systems, the good, the bad, and the ugly, having the politicians on, having the governor on, having the mayor on, having Republicans on, having Democrats on, having people that are running for office who are going to lose on with a voice that I felt like the one thing I have with this bandwidth that I have is being able to talk to people and bring people together and say, what do you believe and why do you believe it and how can you help? And I felt like that was my sort of mission, but it came from, I mean, I watch what you've done. I mean, Love is the Answer is up on your screen, right? I mean, you've had when you fight through these hardships and you try to make things better, you wind up bringing a better group of people along your journey with you. That's what I found. Then the callers we had and the 7-second delay and the early days of the internet and hey, unfriend, unfollow, prune. I have had no problem with that. But I found that when you're preaching a different kind of message, you'll find a different kind of audience.
Yeah, that's right. You know, and I think people are starving for a positive message. And Nestor, man, I've been friends with you a long time, been following you for a long time. I have loved every single thing that you've done. But this right here, you got an opportunity to really, really make a difference. You know, I'm a big believer in marrying art with activism. That's why I never went down the traditional Hollywood trail of, you know, just trying to get on with the biggest names and the biggest films I possibly could. You know, I've made a couple of films that were successful and a couple of TV shows and a bunch of PSAs and other things. But I've always tried to do something that's meaningful, something that's going to last, right? What is my legacy going to be?
Well, you also want to be in an authentic space too. You know what I mean? Like for me, absolutely. It's not authentic for me to sit around and pretend that I watch this baseball team play 4 hours a night. I did it for a long, long time. I cared a lot. I cared a lot about the football team, cared more about the football team than the football team cares about me. I assure you of that. And, you know, watched us fight to get a football team and what it's supposed to mean and written books about it and seen parades that bring black people and white people, rich people and poor people. I mean, they're very, very, very few things that bring people together. And, you know, the football team's been that during the baseball team before that in my lifetime. The thing you were chasing with your owning a soccer team was wanting what the Blast dreamed to be and what the DC United aspires to be, which is bringing people together. Soccer's the great, the world's great communicator in bringing people together.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, being authentic, that's number one, right? And hopefully whoever you are out there, if you're authentic, you're going to be authentic in a positive way, because you can be authentic in a negative way also, you know? And so the key is to try to find something that you really, really are passionate about, and also something that's going to make a difference in the world. You know,
what about
just
love
make
is the answer. I mean, I want to know, give me where you are right now, because I know you're a project guy. You move from, you know, different and that's for people and seasons in our life. And I'm 53 now. I just turned 53 a couple weeks ago. To me, having only done one thing in my life, it would not have been interesting to me. You know, I mean, people feel like I've done one thing, radio or whatever, but it's like not even. It's way beyond the scope of being involved in any one thing. I mean, and you've moved as well. It's probably your military background probably set you on that life journey, right?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You had to have your bags packed, ready to go, you know. And I love the West Coast, you know, but most of my family, except for one daughter and a couple of other relatives, are in the Maryland, D.C. area. So, you know, I'm drawn back there. I haven't been back since COVID, but I do plan on spending a few months there next year and just visiting and, you know, getting back to being around the folks that I love the most. But yeah, Love is the Answer, man. It started in 2012 when my wife and I were living in Howard County, And, you know, as a black man in America, bro, I've been stopped by police for the color of my skin, you know, more than a dozen times. But this one time in June of 2012, that was the time, Nestor, that I thought I was going to die on the side of a road. There was one cop, a 26-year-old white cop, drove by me as I was going for a walk on St. John's Lane. He drove by me again, and then he came back a third time, parked his car, got out, pointed his fingers at me like this, like he was summoning his little child, and he said, "What are you doing here?" Those were his first words. Not you know, "Good morning, sir," or anything like that. It was, "What are you doing here?"
Let me guess, you're walking.
I was just walking while black, bro. That's the only thing I was doing. So, you know, I said, "I'm going for a walk. You know, it's a nice day. How you doing, officer?" And from there, he accused me of breaking into homes, threatened me with arrest, and was just totally, totally nasty. And I was talking to him just like I'm talking to you. And I started asking him questions, you know, so were there break-ins in this community this morning? Should I be concerned? You know? And, He said, "No." Finally, I got out of him. There were no break-ins that morning. There were no break-ins that week. There were no break-ins that month. And I didn't have a TV set under my arms, bro. You know, I was just going for a walk. So he got flustered, man, when I asked him about the 14th Amendment and the First Amendment and my rights, you know, to just go for a walk. He got so flustered, he got back into his own car, sat there, refused to get out, wouldn't talk to me. And I'm standing there 10 feet away from his car wondering, what the heck do I do? So I finally said, "Look, officer, if we're done, I'm going to go ahead and continue my walk." And I said that 5 or 6 times just to make sure he heard me. And as I started to walk away, I started to record a message just really for myself because I was just in shock. And I called my attorney. And as soon as I called my attorney, started talking to him because I was upset because a few months earlier, the same thing had happened when I was driving away from the mall. And I called my attorney to say, "Man, you wouldn't believe what just happened. This stuff happened to me again. This time I was walking." And when I said that, 3 cop cars pulled up, 3 of them, and they rushed up to me. And I thought they were going to take me out. I had one guy had his hand on his taser. Another guy was right up in my face, nose to nose, yelling at me. The third guy that had a stance like he, you know, was in a football game, like he was going to tackle me. And I said, "My attorney's on speakerphone. He hears everything." They all took a step back. And that moment right there, you know, may have saved my life, the ability to call an attorney and tell these guys who were there to teach me a lesson, you know, that, hey, this is not right. And from that moment on, I've been on this journey of let's change things, man. I mean, we got to learn how to treat each other with some respect. You know, that's the Hawaiian theme behind me and on my shirt is all about aloha and ohana, which is family and extended family. And that's how I've lived my whole life. I've tried to, you know, and I've not always been perfect. I'm you know, I mess up just as much as anybody else. But for my own personal wellness, I dove into this space as a child, man, 9, 10 years old of, you know, the first time I went to Hawaii and it just touched my heart. It's been in my spirit ever since. And I've just tried to be that guy ever since then where I'm trying to bring love in you know, more love into the world and get people to respect each other. So that's the journey that I've been on with a film and a book and webinars and this whole movement that has now gone global. So, you know, we're just trying to do things to help people. And I hope I can bring some of that aloha to Baltimore soon.
I finally made it to Hawaii before the plague, I guess 3 years ago now. It was the year that Lamar, do you consider yourself a Ravens fan or are you not a Ravens fan?
Dude, man, I bleed purple, man. Right, I'm a Ravens fan through and through since day one,
bro. Making
sure
you take it with you out there to the desert. So when the Ravens beat the Seahawks, we had a bye week. So it was 3 years ago this week. The pictures keep popping up my wife's timeline, you know, and because it was right around Halloween. And so I had never been to Hawaii. I've been all over the world. I mean, I've been to Tahiti and, you know, the South Pacific and Australia and Europe, you know, whatever, the Caribbean, but just had never been to Hawaii because it's a long way. And, you know, hey, man, Hawaii, winter. I have a friend of mine that's going over to Hawaii in a couple of weeks, going to Oahu. And people are like, "Oh, you go all that way. You got to go to Maui. You got to go to Kauai," whatever. I'm like, Dude, I'll be honest with you. Did I like Maui more than Oahu? Yes. Am I glad I went? Absolutely. Nothing wrong with Oahu. You're not slumming at Waikiki, despite the fact that it's a city and it's there. It's a little like Miami, but it's not. I loved Hawaii, and I ate a lot. And I made a rule in Hawaii, just a for Hawaii rule only. You do not pass a shave ice stand without getting one. So what happened to me was I was there, I think 9 days. I probably had 35 shave. I mean, literally, I just lived on shaved ice and pineapple with every meal. I got the Hawaiian mojo. AJ Ali, I've known him a long time from the soccer world, living down in Howard County, and love is the answer is the message. And, book, website, give me a platform for what you're trying to do right now and how people can be activated.
Yeah. Absolutely, man. So we tell people, watch the film, read the book, do the work. So the film website is walkingwhileblack.com. walkingwhileblack.com. And you can see where you can click on and see the film right there. And then the movement, loveistheanswermovement.com. loveistheanswermovement.com. That's where you can get more information about the book and the film and other things that we're doing. Nestor, we just had our third annual Love is the Answer Day. And September 17th, 2022 will be the fourth annual. We had people painting murals and doing art projects and other things in Italy, in Zimbabwe. We had 50 kids at an orphanage paint posters about what love means to them. We had people in Japan dancing. We had people all over the United States. We had murals painted in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, Ypsilanti, Michigan.
Hard in Bucks County because that's Philly.
Yeah.
Brotherly love.
Yeah.
It's all love in Philly until you play them in football.
Yeah. I got to give them some props though, man. Cause, they had some guys come out and do a screening of my film at nice. Temple University. And it was wonderful, man.
They need more love in North Philly.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. Cheesesteaks as well. Yeah, AJ, do. Man, it's great to visit with you. We won't make it last so long next time between, but had I known in Vegas, I was only out there. I mean, the Vegas thing started as, hey, we're opening the season in Vegas. We're opening the arena. Hey, it's $600 for a ticket. And then people didn't go. And then the COVID thing. And my wife and I wound up going like, just out for the game and back. We didn't do three nights. I didn't want to like have hotel nights where I wasn't having as much fun as I wanted to have. We did sneak in, get a little secret pizza there, Cosmo, and then out. I love Las Vegas. It is a dry heat. Stay cool all winter long out there, and we'll visit again at some point in the spring and catch up and see how you're doing. And certainly put me on the radar to visit in early September next year to promote your big day on September 17th, all right?
You got it, bro. And I'm going to have some crab cakes with you out there in Maryland soon when I come back.
I got to give Steve DeCastro a little bit of love at Roost Chris. And this will involve my sponsors at Royal Farms, too, because I did get some chicken last night. I actually have the chicken box. This is the Western Fries, but I have the chicken box, too. So this is, you know, true story. I live right here where the stadium is. I live at the Harbor. And the old Burke's, you remember Burke's restaurant downtown?
No, I don't.
Burke's was on the corner of Lombard and Light, and they had these onion rings, you know, delicious, beautiful onion rings. And I've known Steve like family forever. Nobody's done more for leukemia than Steve DeCastro, Roost Chris, Serious Steaks, just period, you know. And Steve with my wife and our family and our sponsorship and our friendship and all, wine, Cuba, all that was Steve. Last year, during the plague, I believe it was on my birthday, so it was like a year ago last week, my wife and I are screwing around in the city. The weather was nice. We were out late. We stopped and got dinner. And I looked at the table. We were eating outside because it was COVID and whatever. And I looked at the other table. And somebody at the other table had a basket of these onion rings that they used to serve at Burke's. Burke's is gone. It's Royal Farms now, right? I got literally got fried chicken there last night. Got a piece in the fridge. And I saw the onion rings. And I said, oh, my God. I said, I want those. Those are like Burke's onion rings. And they brought them. And I had had a couple of drinks. This involved the Sagamore Pendry and Juan Webster and some other culprits doing me dirty. And so we ordered the onion rings, and I'm texting Steve at 11 o'clock on a Saturday night, like, how can I know you and you don't tell me you have these onion rings? And, you know, Steve, very magnanimous, the onion rings have been on the menu for 20 years. How could you not know that I do not have the onion rings? This is not new. And I'm like, so that's just word to the wise. You know, and Steve was always my hero, but now that he's got the onion rings, the Burke style. Now, I didn't know this. So just, you know, you go for the steak, you go for the crab cakes, you go for the Cabernet, you know, whatever your thing is, get the onion rings at Burke's, all right? Or excuse me, at Ruth's Chris. At Ruth's Chris. The Burke's onion rings at Ruth's Chris. AJ, always a pleasure, man. And hey, your Goodfellas series, is that on YouTube? Is any of that stuff out available?
Yeah, you can see a couple episodes on YouTube. Just type in Goodfellas of Baltimore, and you can find them. And, you know, one last thing, man. I want people
still
to take
have meaning,
this.
Right? Still, the moral of the story still plays, right?
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. Yeah, it's timeless, bro. It's timeless. You know, and really that episode of my life built into a lot of, you know, the work that I'm doing right now with Love is the Answer. And, you know, for people who think, you know, oh, that's just warm and squishy, it's not going to work. Trust me, if you put love into action as action words, you know, the pledge is I pledge to learn about the people in my community, to unconditionally open my heart to their needs as if they were all immediate family members, then to volunteer to be part of the solution in their life during both good and challenging times. And lastly, to empower everyone I meet to do the same as if our lives depended on each other. L-O-V-E. Learn, open your heart, volunteer, and empower. And those are four powerful words, more powerful than anything else in the universe, man. You put those four things together like you are doing, and everything can change. And I want to do the work with you, man. Let's do some real stuff in the community together next year when I'm there next summer.
All right, we're going to lift the people, man. We're going to have crab cakes. If crab cakes are not involved, I can't be involved in it, AJ. You know that, right?
An onion ring, baby, and onion rings.
You know what you forced me to do now? I got to throw DeCastro. I owe him a text, so I'll give Steve some love. AJ Ali, Love is the Answer. Walking While Black is the film. You can check him out. Find him on Facebook. Find him on Twitter. He's out on the interwebs. And in Hideaway in Hawaiian gear in Henderson, Nevada, in Las Vegas. And hey, man, I'll be out there betting a hard eight at some point when we get the masks off here. Springtime is sprung, and you'll find me at a pool out there somewhere. All right.
All right. Now, shout out to Chief Melvin Russell forever.
There you
go. Good fella.
All right. Hey, man, you yell them all out. It's all fine, man. We're all in it together here. AJ Ali, my guest, the Maryland Crab Cake Tour is coming to a location near you. We're going to be at Fadley's on the 10th. That's Wednesday morning. We got some great guests. I'm not giving it away, but Don Moeller's the executive producer of the Fadley's event on the 10th. So we're going to have all the prime choice guests that day. Next Friday, we're going to be at Nick's Grandstand Grill in Timonium trying to resurrect what my back wouldn't let me do a couple of weeks ago. And then we're with our mayor, Brandon Scott. He's trying to lift Baltimore. We'll be talking to him for a very chunky conversation over his favorite crab cake at Coco's in Lauraville in the city. I'm looking forward to that because we've had to cancel that, move that, postpone that a couple times with Marcella over there. So no crab cakes for me in October after that Mother's thing, and I blew my back out. Nacho Mama's going to have plenty of crab cakes here leading up to Thanksgiving. Also, 30th anniversary is on. The celebration begins December 9th at the Beaumont in Catonsville, and crab cake du jour with Evan Brown at State Fair in El Guapo. I am Nestor. We are WNSD, AM 1570. And we never stop talking. Baltimore, positive, and love is the answer.